Welcome back to EcoTalk. We're continuing our discussion about cars and fuels of the future. Are we there yet, making hydrogen vehicles and fuels available for the rest of us? That was one of many events held during World Environment Day. Actually, 5 days took place around the San Francisco Bay Area, many different venues. So we're lucky enough to have lots of folks in town, and one of them is Dan Sperling. He is a director of UC Davis Institute of Transportation Studies, and we're going to take a sort of an American perspective. We've just had two gentlemen probably doing similar work to what you're doing in Europe, in Switzerland in particular. I've been aware of your work for a couple of years. You're mostly working on the transition to hydrogen technology. Is that correct?
Well, that's been our focus the last couple of years, but we work also on biofuels, transportation problems more generally, air pollution, greenhouse gases.
All that good stuff.
All that good stuff.
So what's the good news? What's the bad news? Let's start with the bad news. What's maybe not happening fast enough?
Well, what's not happening fast enough is making our vehicles more fuel efficient and reducing fuel consumption. That just stands out. It just stunning how we stand out, not only in terms of not getting better, but also compared to the rest of the world.
I think we're getting worse, too. In fact, in terms of average miles per gallon, didn't we hit like a 22-year low recently? And I suspect we're still going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's been a slight decline for about the last 20 years. We're back to where we were in the early 80s, in fact. And
in more ways than one, in terms of Japanese cars taking a big chunk out of the U.S. market.
But let me make a point about that, because there's an important, interesting one, and that is that, in fact, the automotive industry, the engineers have been very innovative in developing fuel-efficient technology for vehicles, and it's very impressive what they have achieved. And in some ways, you could say that, well, if we had, the problem is we used all of that efficiency to make the vehicles bigger and more powerful. If we took a 1985 car and just had the same power as it did then and the same weight as it did then, the vehicle today would be about 25% more efficient, 25% less fuel used. But in fact, it's not. And so what we've essentially done in this country, and it's not the same anywhere else, what we've done in this country is say that all the efficiency and innovation is going to be used to meet these private desires of what people want and not for the public good. And I think that's wrong.
It's funny. I just today heard an ad by GM, of all companies, promoting their fuel-efficient vehicles. I thought, now we've turned a corner here. When GM is promoting its, because they've got one of the worst, I guess Ford has the worst, but, you know, GM has those big monster SUVs that many of the moms in my neighborhood drive around. So the good news, I guess, is that they're recognizing that this is, you know, a priority for more and more consumers, even if it is because of the impact on their wallets.
Yeah, it is. I think we've seen in the last couple of years a lot more attention by both the car makers and the oil companies that climate change really is a problem that they are going to have to deal with. And, of course, with the high fuel prices, it kind of heightens the concern and the interest in fuel economy. But I think we're starting to go down that path. You know, we've not had as much political leadership as we could have, but I think
really.
But I think even industry, even the most conservative companies, have come around.
And what are you working on in particular up at Davis?
Well, we do have a major program in hydrogen that we started quite a few years ago. We're an academic institution. We're not doing advocacy, and what we're saying, okay, hydrogen looks like an attractive, promising option, but it really, really requires a transformation of the automotive industry, the energy industry, buying behavior,
distribution.
I mean, this is not a trivial activity, and it requires many different segments of society working together. So what we did is we started a program called Hydrogen Pathways, where we have just about every oil company in the world, many of the major car companies, the government agencies, all working together, sponsoring this research and meeting, coming together in meetings. And so we've made a lot of progress in understanding, you know, what do consumers really want, what will they pay for, what is really the cost of building hydrogen stations, you know, those kinds of questions that everyone has to work through. And
obviously we're not there yet. Do you think hybrid vehicles are a good transition choice?
Well, hybrids are a good transition from a technology perspective because, in fact, fuel cells are vehicles, are electric vehicles, as are hybrid vehicles. And so the technology that was developed for the battery EVs back in the 90s, the batteries and the electric drive systems, were then transferred to hybrid vehicles and now are being transferred to the fuel cell vehicles. And so they keep building on it. And so from a technology perspective, it's definitely the pathway. The problem, but on the fuel side, it's not a pathway because we're still, at least the kind of hybrids we have now, all run on gasoline.
They do, but I get an average 45 miles per gallon in my Prius and feel so pious and all that. It's a lot better than I got in my SUV that averaged 15 to 18 miles per gallon. And if you consider that every gallon of gas emits 20 pounds of carbon dioxide, I've been using that figure a lot. Is that correct, by the way?
That's correct.
Mileage matters. It does add up. So is that not, you know, a better way to drive around till we have fuel cell vehicles available? Or is there something we should look for in between?
No, the hybrids are definitely an improvement. You know, there's a lot of other things that can be done to make vehicles more fuel efficient. Hybrid technology is one that can give you a quantum jump. But there are very many different types of hybrids. You know, you have to be careful. You know, the Prius is what we call a full hybrid, but there are some hybrids that GM, for instance, is starting coming out. It only gives you a 10%. All it does is basically turn off the engine when you stop.
And they're really promoting that as a hybrid. It's kind of really diluting, you know, the pureness of that term.
Right. We might sometimes, some of us call it, refer to the micro hybrid, which would be that, a mild hybrid and then a full hybrid.
Or hybrid light, as I've heard some people refer to it. Let's talk about some of the myths surrounding gas electric engines, because I get asked this a lot since I have this Don't Be Fueled campaign, Mothers for Clean and Safe Vehicles, in which we promote hybrids as a good transition vehicle. Because many people think that, you know, hydrogen cars are just, 2 years off. I mean, our governor, one of them, kind of touting it like it's right around the corner when, as you're saying and our other guests have said, we're at least 5 years, probably more like 10 years out. Would you agree with that term, or maybe I should just ask you?
From fuel cells?
From fuel cells, yes.
Yeah, you know, fuel cells really depend on when we as a society get our act together to really support it. I think if you left it up to some of the car companies, they'd be ready to bring out a car in five years or so. But you need the fuel supply, you need the, you know, you have to set up the fuel stations, you got the you know, all the permitting problems. It's not easy.
And we'll get back to the governor, I think, probably in our next section, because I have a couple of questions about that. Yeah, got to talk about Arnold. A little dissonance there, but maybe you can address that. So getting back to hybrid technology, there's been some concerns about if a hybrid vehicle were involved in an accident, that paramedics, firefighters might be electrocuted. Has that ever happened? Is that a real concern? And then another, that there's toxins in the batteries, and how are they going to dispose of them? And then just this week, some talk about there being a stalling issue. Can you address those briefly?
Well, starting with the last, the stalling issue is apparently there have been 10 or 15 cars have been, incidents have been identified where cars have stalled. I don't believe there's been any accidents or injuries at all. And they believe that the problem is because of the programming. You know, there's a lot of electronics. My second Prius a few days ago, and they told me the new one has 35 computers in it.
Wow.
So, you know, it's loaded with electronics and technology. And so they think there's just a very minor programming problem that can be fixed easily.
Okay. Any others?
And then the batteries, you know, batteries do have materials in it that you want to recycle and not get into the environment. The nickel metal hydride is relatively mild compared to some of the other battery materials. Lead acid would be much worse, which is what we have in our gasoline cars now.
Mm-hmm.
There's others like nickel cadmium. The cadmium is much worse as well. But I don't think the battery material issue is a real one. You know, we've done a lot of studies on it, and it turns out that even with lead acid, these small lead acid batteries, something like 98-99% of them are recycled because they're valuable. The materials are valuable, and with a nickel metal hydride, they're even more valuable. So
they're not going to be dumped in landfills at the end of their lifespan. And what is that expected lifespan? One of the rumors I hear is that, the battery will die, you know, in 5 to 8 years, and you're going to have to spend as much as you did for the car to replace it. These are like urban myths, I think. but I'd like to hear your opinion.
Well, batteries have improved dramatically. And, of course, you know, we all have our laptops and other devices with batteries, and we know batteries are...
Need recharging.
Need recharging and far from ideal, at least in terms of what we'd like them to be. But there's been tremendous progress made with batteries. And in fact, the new, you know, I was talking to, I was looking through the material for my new Prius, and the warranty on that battery is 150,000 miles. That's
significant.
That's the life of the battery. And in fact, I've been told that in laboratories, they're finding a much longer life than that.
And has, you know, Toyota, they've been driving the Prius longer in Japan. Have any of those batteries, you know, run out? And what is Toyota doing about it, if anything, or how much do they cost to replace to the consumer? Do we know yet?
There is a price on it. It's not huge, because these are not huge batteries. It's not like the batteries for the old EV1 where they really had, you know, 1,000 pounds worth of batteries.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it is for the Prius, but it's only like, I believe it's 150 pounds, something like that.
And in our remaining 30 seconds before the break, the electrocution threat, is that a real concern?
No, that's virtually no danger from that.
You wonder if people just sit around and think of these things and then spread them around. We're speaking with Daniel Sperling, and he's written a book called The Hydrogen Energy Transition, also developing future cars at UC Davis in California. We're going to continue our conversation on cars and fuels of the future. Are we there yet? Right after this break. You're listening to Eco Talk on Air America Radio.
And waste so much, how much do we really need? And how long can a dream survive that seems to thrive on greed? Political pollution is so thick and dark and dense, it contaminates and poisons common good and common sense.
Welcome back to Eco Talk, and we're in discussion with Daniel Sperling of UC Davis, and we're talking about the transition to sustainable fuels. Are we there yet? Well, we're certainly not in the hydrogen age yet in terms of our vehicles. We're going to find out just how close we are. I think I'll ask you, when people ask you, I'm sure you get asked all the time, you said depends on public will, and I'm sure money and research and development. Is the current government addressing this sufficiently? Because I've heard that President Bush is more focused on hydrogen than hybrids, meaning, you know, kind of looking ahead to avoid dealing with today.
Well, of course, there's a political element to all this. But I think in turn for the Bush administration, certainly, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of their environmental record. But the one thing I think they have done well is support and promote hydrogen.
Is it hydrogen hype or reality?
Well, I think there really is a commitment to hydrogen, because it fits their ideology. You know, the ideology, the American ideology, mm-hmm. it's not just the Bush administration, mm-hmm. is that, you know, we want to do things with technology. You know, we don't want to force people to compromise or change their behavior.
Can't sacrifice. Technology will save us.
Right. And so this fits, you know, it fits that paradigm, that mm-hmm. philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they really do believe it. And in fact, you know, people talk about him as an energy president. But in fact, the energy industry is supportive of hydrogen. They're not opposed to hydrogen. Their attitude is, if people will buy it, we'll sell it. Mm-hmm. And on the car side, you know, companies like GM are very aggressively promoting hydrogen. We see, you know, full page spreads in all of our newspapers and magazines. So,
but are we years or decades away from the public being able to go buy a hydrogen fuel cell powered car?
I'd say it could be as little as 5-6, well, for the public, maybe 7-8 years of mm-hmm. fleet applications, 5-7 years could be happen. I think more plausible, given the realities of how the world works, is 10 years probably is when we'll see them in fairly major fleet applications, and a couple of years later in the consumer market.
Mm-hmm. Now, Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger had a big press event a year ago, Earth Day. He was showing himself There was a picture. He always has these staged events with the Hummer. He was filling it up with hydrogen at a gas station. Is that correct? And he's all about promoting the hydrogen highway. In fact, you were part of that promotional event. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, yes. After that, actually, a few months later, he came to UC Davis, where we hosted him, my institute hosted him, where he signed the Hydrogen Highway Executive Order, which set in process, this program to create a hydrogen infrastructure distribution system in California.
Is he being realistic, or is he doing this to, get capitalized on, get political mileage, if you will, on him embracing hydrogen technology at the same time he's the guy who brought us the Hummer?
Well, the governor, he really is fairly liberal on environment. And he does have a philosophy and ideology that we can, he said it in the State of the State speech, and he said it other times, and I think he really believes this. We can improve the environment and improve the economy. We can do both at the same time. And so hydrogen, fits that well. So at that level, I think he's strongly supportive. And there's some people in his administration that are very supportive and have been very effective at leading the charge. I think that the challenge, the question now is the follow through. And, partly the state doesn't exactly have a lot of money, rolling around. And so it's going to depend on to what extent they're willing to work with and push the companies and industries to invest.
And what about personally? Do you see any dissonance in him having supposedly a fleet of 7 Hummers? I heard rumors that he got rid of half of them while he's literally, as we speak, holding a news conference, because we are taping this during World Environment Day week, ways to combat global warming. I mean, if he renounced the Hummer, said this was maybe the right car, last year, but it's the wrong car at the wrong time now. I'm giving back my Hummers or crushing them. I'm going to get Maria a hybrid. Wouldn't that give him a lot more credibility? Or is that just my pet peeve?
Well, many of us are rather dismayed by the large number of large SUVs and Hummers. But,
which he helped popularize, let's face it.
Yes, he was a leader in getting the Hummer. But I think, there are people, going back to this technology idea, they say that, we want a good environment, but we can do it through technology and still have our Hummer.
And with very little talk about conservation now, President Bush stood up, talking about his energy policy needing to be passed and said, I lament high gas prices if I could only wave a magic wand and then go straight to, the future or drilling in Alaska without any talk, real talk, about conservation methods and fuel efficiency. That's why I think it doesn't ring true, whether it's Bush or Arnold or some of the others who are using it perhaps politically more than really committing to it.
Yeah. Well, the energy efficiency, the automobile industry is a real problem for this whole, from a political perspective, because what we really need to do is get the automobile industry to buy into the idea of making their vehicles more fuel efficient. And the problem is that the Japanese companies have and will and are. But the American companies have been lagging, with the hybrid technology and some of the others. They've focused on the big SUVs. That's where their profit is. Mm-hmm. And so if Washington is going to do anything to push the industry in that direction, it's going to have more of an effect on the Detroit companies. And given that they're losing market share, given that they have their legacy problems of that they have these labor forces and these plants that they can't close, anything that might hurt them is
being
problematic.
Revalued. Well, yeah. Fossil fuels and fossil thinking equal dinosaur results, as we like to say. Maybe we will see a turn around the corner, hopefully. We're listening to a conversation with Dan Sperling. You're listening to, I should say, a conversation about the future of our vehicles. And if you'd like to learn more about this topic, you can check out Daniel Sperling's book. It's called The Hydrogen Energy Transition, Moving Toward the Post-Petroleum Age in Transportation. And thanks for joining us.
Been a pleasure.
If you'd like to learn more about Dan Sperling's work at UC Davis, you can go to his website at www.its.ucdavis.edu, and you can find a link to all the websites we've been discussing at our blog site. That's www.ecotalkblog.com.
How much can she take? How much can she give? How much is too much, and how much longer?